And I'm just going to talk a little bit until Mike gives me a high sign and tell me that we're all ready to go with on the computer. Everything's booted up. So how y'all doing? Anybody have a good story to tell? No. Actually, Don and I did have a good week. She had a family reunion, and we got an opportunity to go canoeing down the St. Croix River. So our joke was, you know, if I hear banjos, paddle faster. And then Chris gets up here this morning and starts playing. I go, oh, I hear banjos, paddle faster. And for those of you who don't know, that's a movie reference to the movie Deliverance. That was not a good movie, but it was a long time ago. It was good music. We're going to continue in our study of 2 Corinthians. If you've got your Bible, turn with me there. And we're going to be looking, as we look at this passage, as we read it, I want you to understand where it does talk about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Probably a better word to use would be a stake. Normally when I think of a thorn, or you might think of a thorn, we think of something itty bitty. Oh, I got a sliver. Or maybe even something on a rose. No, we're talking something more like a stake. You know, like something similar to in sizes would have been used to crucify somebody. Or to hold a couple of big timbers together. Something on that category. So, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Maybe. Well, I'll just start reading, and if it comes up, it comes up. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things. Things that a man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain. So no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I say or do. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the lesson that you have for us, the encouragement and instruction. Lord, open our hearts and our minds. Give us that supernatural understanding. And Lord, show us how we can apply this word to our lives today. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach. Lord, that the words that I say might encourage your people. That your church might be blessed. In your name glorified. Father, we pray for your presence here. We pray that we might be weak and you might be strong. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul's reading, when we're reading this, we see Paul starting talking about, I know a man. He's talking about himself, a man that was caught up to the third heaven. He's speaking the third person about himself. He's trying to even here distance himself from it because he doesn't want to be saying, I saw something special, and because of that, I am special. See, when he talks about being caught up into paradise, that word paradise is a Persian word that it comes from, and it talks about the walled garden that Persian kings would have. And if the Persian king wanted to bless somebody and really, really do something special for them, they would receive permission to come in the garden and walk with the king. And that is paradise. To have that intimacy, that close fellowship with God. They had, were just all excited about having close fellowship with the king, but Paul's talking about a close, intimate fellowship experience that he had with God. 14 years previously, is the experience he's talking about. That's when he was on the Damascus Road. The Lord met him there. And he was taken up in a vision at that time. Apparently, he still can't talk about it. He can't tell us what went on, what happened. Just that it was indescribable. That it was paradise. He had that intimate fellowship. He was struck down and blinded at that time. And it required the intervention of a Christ follower to go and pray for healing for his eyes. Somebody who had to step forward in faith and say, this guy's trying to kill me, Lord, and you want me to go pray for him? The Lord said, yeah. I said, okay. He was weak, so that God's strength and healing could be shown. We don't want to take any lesson or any one particular verse in Scripture and gave it too much weight or lend too much weight to the passage or the teaching that you can take out of it if it's not supported anywhere else in Scripture. If it's there in Scripture, yes, it's important. But we don't want to put too much weight on it unless it's also taught elsewhere. See, those things which the Lord is really concerned about teaching us, He shows us again and again and again. Those things which are of major importance. So this is of primary importance. This right here. You know, the third heaven. You know what? That's really not all that terribly important. We don't need to figure out how many heavens there are. Is there seven heavens? Is there nine? Is there only three? I don't know. I really don't care. No one really talks about it there. But what is talked about quite often throughout Scripture that we see is that God uses weakness to show His strength. Look through Scripture. How about Abraham? When did God tell him he was going to tell him to go on this trip? He was like 70 years old. He's like, okay, I'm off. He said, oh, by the way, you're going to become the father of nations. Great. Sarah and I are going to have kids. It's about time. 20 some years later, where are the kids? We've been waiting on that. Nope. Okay, I'm about worthless now. There's no way I'm having kids at this point. You know, Sarah's like saying, hey, nothing's happening here. But yet God brought Isaac in their weakness. Then we saw the strength. We see the example of Moses. They were going to kill him as a child. He's put in a basket. Let go. He's surprisingly found by his sister, who happens to be a handmaiden of the daughter of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's daughter takes this baby and raises it as her own. And Moses grows up to a life of privilege and power. But he learns about his Jewish roots and he tries to intervene in what he sees as an unjust situation and ends up eventually killing a man. And then somebody says, well, you know, you're going to kill me next? He realizes that some people saw he could get caught. He runs away. He ends up this shepherd in the middle of the wilderness, as powerless as could be. He's got this speech impediment. His privilege is all gone. His power is gone. And God says, okay, now you're ready to go be my tool. And he sends him to Pharaoh to lead the people out. Prophet Jeremiah, the man was cast in the bottom of a well. God used him in that situation to prophesy with power. We have the example of Christ himself in the garden and on the cross. Christ went in weakness to the cross, physical weakness. He demonstrated he did not fight back. And it was there that God had victory over death for us. He bought all of us. He paid the penalty on the cross and had victory over death at the tomb when he was resurrected 3 days later. God, time and again, he shows that he takes us where we're weak. It's a strong. King David, little shepherd boy. Hello, Goliath. Just a little boy. Time and again, that's the story. See, Scripture teaches us that when we're weak, that's when God can use us the most. I want to show you an example of this that isn't in the Bible, but is current today. I've got two video clips I'm going to show you. They're both of the same man, a very godly man, a man who I call a friend, and a man who is currently going through very, very tough time. But I want to see, this is him approximately 1 year ago. And I want you to hear, he used to be the vice president of the Christian Missionary Alliance. His name is John Stumble, Reverend John Stumble. Right, if we can play the first clip.
Before us is too great. The offer of reconciliation is too great. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, this is incredible. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. This offer from God that we can have peace with Him and therefore have peace with those around us. That peace that enters into us can become peace that flows through us. This is the power of the gospel that has been emphasized this week. Thank you so much for that. that it's not just that Christ who saves us then says, go imitate me, do what I do. Well, there is a place where we imitate Christ, yes, but the message of the gospel is far deeper and richer than that. That that the person of Christ himself enters into us through his Holy Spirit, and his peace becomes our peace. My peace I give to you, Jesus says. I do not give to you like others give to you. My peace I give to you. So it's not about cranking out peace. It's not about cranking out joy. It's not about digging deeper that I've got to love that person somehow. No, it is the love of Christ. It is the peace of Christ. It is the joy of Christ that is within us as Christ followers. Now, we may not be fully tapped into that. We may not be fully experiencing that. But that is the message, I believe, of the gospel, that it is as Christ enters us, he brings his character with him. And so that who Jesus was in this earth can become who we are, not simply by what would Jesus do, although that has its place, but by his presence and his power living through us.
As John Stumble, 1 year ago, speaking at a conference for peacemakers, he was their keynote speaker. He was a triathlete. Just as something as a hobby. That means he ran in the mountains, rode bikes, and swam. And he was in great health. Last fall, he became ill. Around Christmas time, they actually thought he was going to die. He got better a little bit. Now, just 2 months ago, he resigned as senior pastor from Salem Lion Church. His health condition is continuing to deteriorate. They still don't know exactly what's going on, but he's only been around as long as he has, they figure, because of the great health that he was. But I want you to hear him preach. This was taped in April. So, Mike.
I don't really like the journey I'm on. But I want you to know, God beginneth and God is good. God is in this journey and God can only be good. He is to me forever praise. Some of you don't like the journey you're on either right now. You're in a tough spot. Economically, hard time. Physically, bad news. Relationally, tough situation. Emotionally, struggling. Please know that he, according to Psalm 139, he is the God of the light and the darkness. Too much American theology is in the God of the light only. But the scripture is clear that he's the God of the day and the night, the light and the dark. The victory and the battle. Job didn't like his situation. Jeremiah didn't like his life circumstance. Jesus didn't like being in the garden. I don't like my situation. But God is in it, and God is good.
That clip is from was shown at General Council, which was at the end of May. John Stumble is preaching there with as much power as it's possible to preach. Because he's living with life of Christ in him. The two messages that he was sharing, Christ in him, and God is the God of Christ in him and the peace that comes from that, and then God is the God of light and dark. They interlock. And they're part of what's going on here. Where we see Paul speaking of the thorn in the flesh. He has something which is debilitating to such an extent that he's cried out to God three times. You don't think John's crying out to God, God, take this away from me? There are people interceding for him daily. But yet that's not been taken away. Why? We see here in this passage today that Paul says that the thorn was given to him to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What's your thorn? What's your stake? What's that thing in your life that's so great that you're crying out to God, take it away? Maybe that very thing that you're asking God to take away is actually a gift from God and you don't know it. See, this thorn Paul had was a gift to help him from being conceited. He says it is. I'm not saying it. He did. I'm not saying because you're being tormented it's a gift from God. But have you considered it a gift? Have you? I have my own. Some of you might have noticed I limp a little. Shattered my leg in motorcycle accident 91. Since that time, I've blown up considerably. Plumped out quite nicely, thank you. Ruptured my L5-S1 disc because I listed to one side for 10 years. And they said, oh, yeah, well, let's put a lift in your shoe. I said, good idea. Why didn't we do that 10 years ago? I'm doing better. I'm not in as much pain as I was at one time, but I'm always in pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's never a time when I don't hurt. Just sometimes I just hurt less. Some of you had similar experiences with similar type things. I'm not unique. I'm not special in that way. And I ask God to bring healing to this leg. And I did feel that I heard from God, and he told me no. See, in my instance with my life, my leg is the thorn in the flesh, as Paul was. This was given to me as a reminder of my call to ministry. You see, I was a disobedient son of God. See, disobedient, S-O-G. That's me. God called me to go into the ministry and I said, no, I don't want to. It's not according to my schedule. It's not according to my plan. You know, I got... you know, my plans to worry about. God said, well, let me help you along with that. And just like a lamb that wanders away, the shepherd broke my leg and made me walk close with him for the next year. And there's times when the pain in my leg and my back my body just causes me to go to the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, I need your strength. See, I used to be strong. I was healthy. The Army, Navy, Air Force, PT tests that they give, you know, I used to max it without any trouble. I maxed the sit-ups. I maxed the push-ups. I did the run. It wasn't a problem. I was in gymnastics. I was on swim team. I played water polo. I was in crew. I went canoeing in the Boundary Waters. Ninth grade, I portaged a canoe by myself on a 1 mile portage, nonstop. I only weighed 120 pounds back then, and I carried a 90 pound canoe, nonstop. So I said, I used to be in good health, and that's what I counted on when I worked for myself, doing carpet and upholstery cleaning. I would go in and I would clean the house. I would move every stick of furniture in that house by myself. Dressers, davenports, beds, didn't matter how big it was. I moved it all by myself. I moved everything, put it back. Hauled the equipment in and out all by myself. I'd go all day. And I used to trust in my strengths. Well, I don't do that so much anymore. I had trust in the Lord. And because I'm weak. Literally, there's some times when I can barely stand up. I'm not exaggerating. Sometimes I'm fine, really. Most of the time. So what's this thorn for? Why does I have this? It's a reminder between God and I. God has something for me. He's used it to the trials that I've gone through, the physical pain, to learn to trust in Him. He's taught me a lot through it. He's also used my situation to somehow bless other people. Because of this, I ended up being a pastor. If it wasn't for that journey I would not be on, I would not have been on call and gone just last Wednesday night. I went to a suicide. I was there and I was able to be of assistance and some comfort to the family. Wouldn't have been there. Wouldn't have done that. Couldn't have. If I'd still been walking around in my own strength. Is there something going on in your life where you're crying out to God, Lord, take it away. It hurts. See, Paul is talking about this pain. It's not just an inconvenience. He's just not talking, well, maybe I'm a little nearsighted or something like that. There are different theories, some that it's a malaria, some that, you know, he gets these blinding headaches and can't see, you know, that it hadn't gone away from the, it's part of, if you would, a continuation of what happened to him on the road to Damascus. It talks about eye problems, talks about pain. This thorn, this spike in his flesh was there to remind him of his own weakness so he wouldn't get conceited. I have my leg and my body. I'm not saying that's the only problem that God ever has brought my way. But when God brings me problems, now I look at them different. Sometimes not right away. But I'm looking at the problems more often, more like, how is God going to use this for His glory? This church, God has used this church for its glory amazingly. We are weak people. Anybody here got a couple million dollars in the bank account? Anybody got more than 20 bucks in the checking account? Okay, I know a couple of you got more than that. But there's a few of us here that could say we don't have more than $10 in our checking account. We're weak. We have a lot of numbers? No. Do we have a lot of resources? No. Has God used us in amazing ways? Yeah. God has done some awesome stuff here. And I think God's going to continue to do awesome stuff here and is going to do more. Does that mean that we can't get stronger again? No. Job was taken to a very weak spot. All everything he had was taken away from him, except his life. That's all he had left. And even there he had boils and was not comfy. And the Lord later brought blessing. He was blessed beyond that which he'd been before. That may or may not be the future of Northbrook. I don't know. But what I do know is that God's Word says that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Kevin got up here and said, you know, pray for our resources. I'm getting up here and saying, you know, pray for leadership for the elders. Why? Because we know we don't have it all covered. We're weak. This is where we're supposed to be. This is a basic Christian principle. Is we're supposed to come to the end of ourselves and stop trusting in our strength and trust in God's strength. Just some of us have some resources and something that sometimes we need an extra reminder from God that He's supposed to be the source of our strength. And not ourselves. So let's look at our lives. Let's look at our church. Let's recognize that we're weak and He's the one who's truly strong. Let's stop trying to do it in our own strength. We may not like the journey we're on. John Stumble was preaching. But God is in it and God is good. God says, my grace is sufficient. Paul is in pain. A stake through his brain is what it feels like. The picture, burning, pain. He's saying, my grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's response and our response needs to be, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecution and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when we stop relying on ourselves and we rely on Christ, then we're strong, people. This church can best impact the lives of the people around us when we stop doing it in ourselves, when we're not trusting ourselves, but we're trusting in God. When we're weak, He's strong. Let's pray. Father, We do thank you that your grace is indeed sufficient. Let your power be perfected in our weakness. Might we be the conduit that you use for your glory. As Daniel slew the giant, Goliath, they knew it had to be God that did it, because there's no way a child could kill someone of such strength. Lord, as the death of one man paid the penalty for sins for all, how what appeared to be victory for the enemy was actually his defeat. Lord, your strength was perfected through the symbol of weakness on the cross. Lord, might our lives and the life of this church be perfected in weakness. Might your glory be the one that goes forth. Might you get the glory. Might none of us say we did it. But might we instead just point to you and say, God is good. And God is in it, and God has done it. God has carried us through whatever trials and persecutions we are in, and will carry us through to the end. Lord, might we trust in you, and might we give you glory, even for the thorns, those stakes in our lives, so that your grace might be sufficient. That your power might be perfected, and that your glory might shine forward for all to see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.